Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and I am joined today by the second half of the Blue Chip Scouting Podcast. Yesterday it was Dalton Miller. Today it is Matt Valdovinos.
Perfect.
Did I get that right?
Yep, time? That was awesome.
Valdovinos is here today to talk to us about all the Week 11 games we're going to go through. We're going to recap them a little bit. We're also going to get into a little bit of draft talk. But first of all, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm enjoying life, having a good time, coming on talking football, always feeling good, always pretty happy. I'm doing good.
Oh, it's good to hear. Let's start with actually the terrible news. The Redskins, man, I need you to explain one thing to me, because I didn't think the Redskins were going to be great before the year, but the one thing that you sold me on was that they were going to have some semblance of a pass rush, and that has seemingly been non-existent. Would that be a fair assessment?
I wouldn't say non-existent, because they're still getting good production from their interior defensive line, which really is the calling card of that defense. But the pass rush definitely hasn't been everything that we would have hoped it would have been.
Yeah, so that is the only part of the Redskins experience that I've found overly disappointing. But how are you feeling about the team as a whole right now?
So they obviously have not performed to the expectations I had. I thought they were about a 7-9 team. But with that are good and bad things. Bad things, obviously, coaching changes, questions about, you know, what players need to stay, should there be a complete rebuild, and then even questions about, you know, the rookie quarterback they took and people questioning if he can be a successful quarterback because he's only played in 2.5 games or he started one game and played in 2 other halves. So there are a ton of negatives on that front, but on the same time, I personally, and a lot of people who are close to me know this, I am of the mindset that I would rather go 2-14 than 7-9, because I'd rather be picking first overall than 19th overall, having the last pick in the draft of the teams that didn't make the playoffs.
Right. I would tend to agree with that. I feel the same way about the Broncos sometimes. I think if they're going to suck, they should suck badly. But that's hardly ever the case. They usually only suck enough to get late top 10 picks. So
exactly.
That is a good point. Well, let's get to that. The draft coming up. You are a big draft guy. I'm not as much. I'm trying to know more, though, this year going into the draft process. So I wanted to ask you a few questions about the draft, if I could. And with each answer, as far as the players you give me, I am a big comparisons guy. So if you could also give me the NFL comparison you have for that guy, that would help me out, because I think that would be a really helpful thing for me to have in the back of my mind. So let me start with the number one position in football, the quarterback. Who is the best quarterback available right now?
So I've been of the mind recently. So I've really struggled with the quarterback position from this class, because there's a lot of really good guys and a lot of different talent. And for the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season, I thought QB1 was a 4-player race in Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, Joe Burrow, and Jacob Eason. And those were the 4 quarterbacks I had and I thought were good enough to potentially have a QB1 status. That has since changed to 3 in just Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, and Justin Herbert. And on top of that, I kept that as a ranking as my tier one. Those were the 3 quarterbacks who I thought at the end of the season could be my QB1. But as recently as this Saturday, it has changed to, I know who my quarterback one is currently, and that is Joe Burrow, quarterback from LSU.
All right. So who's his NFL comparison?
There were a couple, I think a low end comparison is Alex Smith. Burrow doesn't possess elite physical traits, but he's a solid athlete. He gets the ball to his playmakers. He's consistently accurate, and he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So in that sense, I think he's very Alex Smith-like. He can lead a team. He can be the guy that if the team's good around him, they can win some games. However, Alex Smith was never the guy to run up the middle, take a big hit, try and truck a safety, get up and scream. But Joe Burrow is. Alex Smith also wasn't as savvy in the pocket and being able to move around as well as Joe Burrow does. Joe Burrow navigates the pocket as well as I've ever seen. And in some of that instances, I see a lot of Carson Wentz. He's because Burrow is bigger and a little more athletic than Smith. He's not as big as Wentz or athletic as Wentz, and he doesn't have as live an arm, but his ability to shed would-be sacks, move under pressure, and still make a great throw down the field, he reminds me a lot of Carson Wentz in that range. So I find him in the median of an Alex Smith, Carson Wentz type player.
Oh, I kind of like that. I like both those players quite a bit as far as a quarterback play goes.
So Alex Smith did go to the University of Utah.
Yes, so he did.
I imagine you do.
Yes, he did. I know that Alex Smith is not the greatest quarterback ever, but I have a fond place in my heart for the way Alex Smith
plays. As do I, trust me.
I love the way that – I love mistake-free quarterbacks. Now, being too conservative can hurt you, yes, but – I like a guy with a little bit of moxie though in that I like Carson Wentz because he's more of a risk taker as well. So if Burrow is truly a mix of Alex Smith and Carson Wentz, to me that would be the perfect quarterback because I also love Carson Wentz. I think he's one of the more underrated quarterbacks right now in the NFL despite a few turnover problems. Some team-specific questions here, and I want you to start with my team. So the Broncos, if they were to pick, I don't know, seventh, because I feel like that's probably where they'll pick, who do you think they should target? Should they go after a quarterback? Should they take the best available player? What are you keeping in mind that – I would say the biggest concern outside of quarterback is offensive line. And if you weren't going to go there, the Broncos haven't drafted defense in the first two rounds in the past 3 years. So, that's not true. They've only drafted one defensive player in the first two rounds of the last 3 years, and that was Bradley Chubb. So where do you think the Broncos should kind of go if they have that seventh overall pick?
Well, so I had a mock draft over at Pro Football Network where I write. And on that, I had them taking Justin Herbert, I think, 10th overall because that's where they were picking at the time. And that's where – and Herbert had fallen. I thought that was great value because I do think Justin Herbert can be a franchise guy. And while I liked Drew Locke's skill set, I didn't necessarily think he was – a guy who I believed could be a franchise quarterback. I wasn't sold on Drew Locke, especially not as much as I am on Justin Herbert. I do think Justin Herbert is a noticeably better quarterback prospect than Locke. However, I do have some friends close to the Broncos organization who are reporters and thought it was very unlikely that the Broncos would target a quarterback in the coming draft.
Yeah, that seems unlikely to me as well. Following the team pretty closely. Who would Herbert's comparison be?
Justin Herbert, also Carson Wentz, kind of in that same mold physically. But the kind of player he is more so similar to almost like a Sam Darnold in New York on his good days. Because Sam Darnold is real inconsistent, hard to kind of gauge just exactly what kind of quarterback he is. Justin Herbert's a big guy with solid athleticism, a good arm, and makes all the requisite throws consistently with a wow factor. And I think you do get that from Sam Darnold a fair bit.
Okay. The Redskins, who do you think they should go after?
So real quick, going back to the Broncos.
Oh, all right.
So that's why I had mocked
Okay.
And I think if Herbert or Tua or Joe Burrow are somehow at their pick, they should garner consideration if they were to go somewhere other than quarterback. The two offensive linemen I like a lot that I would also target for the Broncos are Georgia's left tackle, Andrew Thomas, who to me is maybe a Taylor Lewan, Ronnie Stanley kind of player, a bigger tackle who moves people in the run game and is above average as a pass protector, but not an elite guy. And then the other one would be Iowa's Tristan Wirfs, who is very Lane Johnson-like, a supreme athlete, who's an excellent pass protector, but I do have some reservations in the run game, whereas when they're on, they are one of the – like when Tristan Wirfs and Lane Johnson are full go, 100% committed to moving someone, they can blow someone off of the football and drive them 20 yards down the field, but you don't see that on a consistent basis. So I like that comp a lot as well. And then a dark horse guy for the Broncos – who I like a lot too is Isaiah Simmons, the safety linebacker hybrid out of Clemson. Closest one for Simmons would probably be a Tony Jefferson, Derwin James type, but not as big or effective against the run as Derwin James. And I think Simmons just kind of fits what the Broncos need at linebacker without them taking a big risk on Dylan Moses coming off the ACL tear.
The Redskins, who do they go after?
So the Redskins are a little easier because I do expect them to be picking top five comfortably, more likely top three. I do think this upcoming week's the only other chance at a game that they have to win for the rest of the season, unless the Giants implode, which I guess is plausible, but less likely. For the Redskins, I think it starts at the top and at the top of the class in Chase Young. And Chase Young, I know we are going to talk about a little bit later.
Why don't we just combine it? Tell me about this guy, because it always seems like there's kind of one guy that people who don't follow college football or scouting very closely always hear about throughout the year as the clear number one overall guy. And last year it was – I forget who.
Last year was mostly Nick Bosa.
Yeah, it was mostly like Nick Bosa.
And then Quinnen Williams out of nowhere had an amazing year.
Yeah, here it's kind of now Chase Young. So tell me about this guy. Like what is the hype? Who's his comparison? How good is this guy?
So Chase Young's the best player since – I would say 2017 when Myles Garrett was the first overall pick. And coincidentally, that's who I think is the same kind of comparison. A physical freak. I think Myles Garrett's like 6'5", 265, I believe. Chase Young's 6'4", 270, so a little bit heavier. Both explosive athletes. Great long – like they have speed, they have acceleration, they have burst. But they also have strength in the line of scrimmage. I do think Myles Garrett was a little more refined as a player. He was a better run defender, and he was a better athlete, which is kind of insane to think about considering how good Chase Young is. And Chase Young is more developed as a pass rusher. But, I mean, Chase Young's as good as advertised. This dude is a monster. He's been the best player. He's been the best player in college football, not just the best defense player, not the best pass rusher. He's been comfortably the best player on – Ohio State, in the Big Ten, and in the country. He's a force. He's got a good chance to lead the nation in sacks at the end of the year, despite having a two-game suspension that he's currently serving for the next 2 weeks. I mean, he's a special kind of player, a game changer, and that's why I think the Redskins, despite not having a huge need at edge rusher, Chase Young's not a guy you just willingly go over, especially right. If you don't have to take a quarterback.
It's like a Bradley Chubb type pick.
Yeah. Well, like a Myles Garrett pick where the Browns needed a quarterback but didn't view any of the guys as worth losing out on Myles Garrett. Now, that was also a class that had Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. However, the Browns actually passed on both of those quarterbacks twice.
Right. Ooh, excuse me. Yeah, that's a good point. All right. Well, that's draft talk. Thank you very much for that. Oh, one kind of under the radar guy that's still a first rounder that maybe the average fan isn't hearing much about, but you really like in the first round?
Well, there's one guy I really like that I think people were really, really high on, but have started to kind of just been real quiet, is Iowa edge rusher AJ Epenesa. At the beginning of the season, I actually had Epenesa as a higher ranked prospect than Young, just because I thought he was a more complete prospect. However, the table flipped pretty quickly when Young came out of the gates firing, really hadn't slowed down all year. And AJ Epenesa took a little while to kind of get going, and he still hasn't been as dominant as I was hoping he would be this year. So that's a guy where people are like, oh, well, after Chase Young, teams who miss an edge rusher are missing out. No, I still think AJ Epenesa's future is going to be a 12 to 15 sack per year kind of guy, like a top 10 edge rusher. People, just because Chase Young's in the class, don't realize how dominant he is.
All right. Let's get to these games.
Sweet.
Let's start with Thursday night football. Browns Steelers. Baker Mayfield, by the way, coming off, I would argue, his best game of the year, but still a game where he looked kind of sloppy. My major point about this is I want to bring attention to the Browns linebackers, who are overlooked because it's kind of been a bad team overall, but the defense hasn't been terrible. Excuse me. But I think some of the Browns linebackers are overlooked, especially Mack Wilson, who has kind of come into his own the last 2 or 3 weeks and really become a solid tackler for the team and a guy to kind of work on. Joe Sherbert still playing like a pro bowler. The defense definitely has enough pieces on it where it can kind of go on a run if it were. The Browns obviously kind of have to win every game from here on out to stay in the race. And this is a tough one against a Steelers defense that I could just see eating up that offensive line.
Yeah, this one was kind of hard because the Steelers are heating up. Minkah Fitzpatrick has been lights out, which is worrisome because of Baker's struggles. But I do agree that Baker's best game this year came this past week, and it was sloppy, but it was against the Bills' number two ranked pass defense. The Bills' defense has been excellent this year. Teams have struggled to pass consistently against them. So the fact that his best game came against that defense leads me to hope that the rest of the Steelers' defense can be a liability at times. Joe Hayden's obviously not what he used to be. There are ways that you can challenge that defense vertically, and hopefully Odell Beckham Jr. has his best game of the year this upcoming week. I like Cleveland to win because I think that offensively they can do more damage than the Mason Rudolph-led Steelers offense.
Absolutely. I think the Steelers win this one. I just trust that defense above every other position within the game, basically, for both teams. And I think they're going to – excuse me again. I think they're going to kind of have their way with the Browns offensive line. And I think they're going to give Baker Mayfield a real problems. Texans, Ravens. I wanted to point out early on here that Deshaun Watson is just as much of an MVP candidate as Lamar Jackson. I think Russell Wilson's the clear MVP right now, but Deshaun Watson, his stats this year have been pretty insane. He's having one of the best years of his career. He's got 2,400 yards passing, 18 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. That was my big point for this game, is watch Deshaun Watson, because he is as much a MVP candidate as Lamar Jackson is, and this is the game of the week, and it should be fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm so stoked for this game. I completely agree. Deshaun Watson has been lights out. This was the hardest game, I think, for me to pick this week, because I do think it can go either way because both quarterbacks have been so dominant. However, thinking about the rosters, I just prefer what the Ravens have going on right now as opposed to what the Texans have. And It took a lot, but I picked the Ravens. I expect Lamar Jackson to continue his MVP kind of run. And I expect Deshaun Watson to be excellent as well. And I do agree that he's right there with Lamar Jackson, and Russell Wilson is the clear winner.
Yeah. Houston's defense has kind of struggled, especially in DVOA being ranked 18th, especially after J.J. Watt left. Their run defense isn't rated very highly either. I think Lamar Jackson is going to have a big day again against this Texans defense that is down a couple of good linebackers. And I agree with you. I think I'm taking the Ravens in this one. The Falcons and the Panthers, 2 points. Kyle Allen, outside of the turnovers, had his best game of the year, I think, against the Packers. Really showed everything that you wanted to see from him as a quarterback. And now with Cam on IR, of course, he is the guy for the rest of the year. And he made some real progress last week if you take away the turnovers. Two, on the other side of the ball, the Falcons defense, I wonder if they have turned a corner. I know that they're 1-7, but we have seen teams that are bad turn it around in the second half of the season, and they have enough talent on the defense, even despite the injuries, that I wonder if the defense has turned it around a little bit and maybe is much improved in the second half.
Yeah, I loved the Falcons team. I had him as a playoff team. I love Matt Ryan. I think he's perennially the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. However, I don't know that last week's game against a divisional rival was enough for me to assume that they're going to be good for the rest of the year. So I did go ahead and take the Panthers, and I believe CMC will continue his dominance against the Falcons' banged-up defense. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons were to win this game and then go on a little run, like you said, start piling together some wins, and before we know it, there may be a 5 or 6-win team.
Yeah. I just think the Falcons are going to turn it around a little bit in the second half of the season. I think Dan Quinn's going to be fired no matter what, but I think we'll see some sparks from this team throughout the rest of the year.
I think if any team in the bottom 10 were to do it, it would be the Falcons.
The Cowboys and the Lions play. Oh, who did you have in this game again? You have the Panthers.
The Panthers.
I'm going to take the Falcons here just for the heck of it. I think they will come away with the win. The Cowboys and the Lions playing here on this next game. Matthew Stafford, again, expected not to play this week with a back injury. He's not practicing, so that could really hurt this team. I like the Cowboys a lot. I truly believe they are – when they are not beating themselves, they are the best team in the NFL. And I think they lay a beat down on the Lions here after a tough loss against the Vikings.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree on the idea that they are the best team, because there are some major holes, specifically in the coaching staff. And I think that is a major difference between the elite teams and the great teams. I don't think you can win a football game if you're consistently right, especially not a big-time football game against big-time other offenses. Not saying the Lions are, but especially once you get to the playoffs, off exclusively trying to run the ball and thinking that that's going to be okay, and not being creative when trying to run the ball, really just saying, I'm going to give you this many blockers and Ezekiel, and we're going to go try and win a football game. NFL doesn't really work that way anymore. So I think Dak Prescott has been terrific this year. But until the Cowboys realize that and start letting him loose and playing a little more freely, they're still going to struggle to take over games and beat the teams they're supposed to beat. I am going to take the Cowboys in this game. If Matt Stafford was healthy, maybe it'd be a different question, because the Lions typically do play the Cowboys pretty well. But I'm going to take the Cowboys. No Stafford, no dice.
All right. The Jags and the Colts, I'm going to ask you a question here. Foles versus Brissett, who's the better quarterback here?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'll tell you, Brissett's a better quarterback value for sure. And I'm going to say Brissett's also just a better quarterback because he provides more consistency than Nick Foles does. Nick Foles is very volatile, and while he could go on a little five-game run, undefeated, play lights out, and take your team to the playoffs when you really shouldn't, he could also go on a four-game run where he should be taking your team to the playoffs, and he loses four straight games and throws 12 interceptions in those four games. Nick Foles, while I like him, is very scheme-dependent as well. I think Jacoby Brissett has the talent to be able to, and the mindset to be able to fit in a number of offenses. He's more athletic than Nick Foles, so I do think Jacoby Brissett's probably a little bit of a better quarterback.
All right.
Despite the big Nick energy.
Yes. I like Nick Foles a lot, but I think I'd agree with you. Jacoby Brissett has played like a better quarterback this year for sure. I know the sample sizes are different, but Foles is streaky and Brissett is consistent. Even though I think he's kind of a boring quarterback to watch, his best throw is throwing these across the middle kind of crossing routes that wide receivers then take for 10 to 15 extra yards. But he's consistent and he does it consistently, which is more than can be said for Foles, who as you've said, is very streaky as far as quarterback play goes. The Bills and the Dolphins, another question for you. Should the Bills be worried about the rapidly improving Dolphins?
Should they be worried? Absolutely. Dolphins have looked really good in the past 2 weeks. Well, really good for the Dolphins. And it's a divisional game, so I do think you can't just look at this game and assume they're going to win. At the end of the day, the Dolphins do have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who we talk about volatility and inconsistency with Nick Foles. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the personification of those two words. Any given Sunday, as people like to say, on any given Sunday, Ryan Fitzpatrick could throw 7 touchdowns. On any given Sunday, Ryan Fitzpatrick could throw 7 interceptions. So that's going to be a huge tell on the game is which Ryan Fitzpatrick shows up. And really, if the Dolphins are able to run the football, that's been huge. Kalen Ballage has been horrific. His vision is non-existent. He lacks any real ability to make defenders miss. He can't break out of tackles very well. All he is big and fast. And unfortunately, in the NFL, that doesn't cut it anymore. So as long as the Dolphins can run the football consistently and well, they'll have a good chance because that's where the Bills' weakness lies. We saw 85-year-old Adrian Peterson run for over 100 yards against them. As long as the Dolphins don't have to try and air it out for the win, they'll be fine.
Absolutely. I'm going to take the Dolphins here, to be honest with you. They almost beat them in Buffalo, I think, in Miami. The Dolphins use the same kind of game plan again in kind of shutting down the run and making Josh Allen throw, which he has not done well over the last 4 to 5 weeks. I think the Dolphins win this one in kind of an upset and they improve to 3-7. I don't think they get many more wins than this game, except for maybe the Dolphins, but I truly believe that this Dolphins team at this point is a 4-5 win operation. So I think they have 2 or 3 wins left, and I think this is one of them. And then we didn't pick Jags Colts, so I'll let you throw out your pick. But I'm actually going to go the Jaguars here. I think Nick Foles kind of has a big showing on Sunday, and people get kind of sucked into him again.
I'm going to take the Colts for that game. I think Jacoby Brissett does his thing, has a very boring but consistent game. Colts will be able to run the football, and I think that defense is excellent and deserves more credit. And I think Matt Eberflus, their defense coordinator, deserves a lot of credit, and I think he'll be a hot name as a head coaching candidate.
Yep. The Broncos, Vikings. Interesting defensive matchup to me. Between the Broncos defense and the Minnesota running attack. The Broncos defense ranks 9th in DVOA against as far as rush defense goes. And Minnesota has one of the best ground attacks in the country and in the National Football League. And I just think it'll be interesting to see kind of how that battle goes, I tend to believe Minnesota will be able to overcome that and impose their will on the Broncos on the ground. But I think that's something interesting to watch, and I want to see Brandon Allen again, because against a good Cleveland defense, he was good in that he didn't throw any turnovers and he took the team down the field a few times to score, and the young talent on the Broncos offense is kind of really starting to come together. So I want to see what the steps forward for Brandon Allen looks like, and if he can continue to remain turnover free, because I think as long as he remains turnover free, he is kind of a guy with the job right now, as much as I want to see Drew Locke. But according to a bunch of people that report for the Broncos, including Cody Rourke, we are not going to see Drew Locke for a while unless Brandon Allen really has a misstep. So I want to see if he can keep the turnovers in check. And I know I've talked for a while, so I'll let you take over. What are you kind of looking for in this game?
My big thing is, I mean, the Broncos, a lot of that run defense, that DVOA, a lot of it also stems from the fact that Derek Wolfe is playing some of the best football he ever has. And I've been really impressed with his play and really that whole defensive line. My issue is, while the linebackers have been strong run defenders as well to a point, I do still think that they are a weakness in the pass game. And my expectation is, even if the Vikings are struggling to run the football, Stephon Diggs on over the middle routes over the middle of the field, and then Dalvin Cook in the screen game, and even a little bit of Alexander Mattison in the screen game, that's really where the Vikings' difference will come. And I just don't know that the Broncos have the ability to put up the points that the Vikings do. So I am going to take the Vikings.
Yeah, I'll take the Vikings as well. This is in Minnesota. I think they win, but I think the Broncos keep it a little bit closer than people might expect. I think that, once again, this is a nail-biting, kind of heartbreaking loss for the Broncos that comes in the last few seconds. The Saints and the Buccaneers, I would just like to quickly hype up the Buccaneers offense, which if you got rid of the quarterback that throws like three killer picks a game, you would have one of the better offenses in the entire league. Chris Godwin is truly a wide receiver one type of guy. Mike Evans is balling out. O.J. Howard has looked good over the past few weeks. And Ronald Jones has really come into his own as a running back. He's starting to kind of be the guy that he was hyped to be when he joined the team last year. I just wanted to say that I think the Saints win this game. I think they bounce back from a loss to the Falcons last week, and I think they win this game pretty handily. But I love the Bucs offense right now.
Yeah, I think Ronald Jones has been – I think the best thing for him now currently this year is that Bruce Arians, his ability to get the ball – in the hands of a running back in space through the passing game has been, I mean, he had what, like 8 receptions last week, something like that. And that's a really good extension. That's not something we saw a lot of at USC, not because he couldn't do it, but just because he didn't get a lot of production. He didn't get a lot of targets. He's still been an inefficient runner of the football, but he has looked better. And I think he's looked better than Peyton Barber. I don't think that's really much to say at all, but I do think the Saints are just one of the best teams in the NFL. Currently, they were my pick to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year. Hopefully, they make me look good. I'm going to go with the Saints.
All right. I will let you take the next game away. Jets, Redskins.
So, up to this point in the season, I've picked the Redskins to win 2 games. I picked them to beat the Giants week 4, I believe, or week 3, and they ended up losing that game. And then I picked them to beat the Dolphins, and they won that game. So, I'm 1-1. This is, I expect, barring some unforeseen win streak, this is the last game I'm going to pick the Redskins to win all year. The Redskins are coming off a bye. Dwayne Haskins is coming off an efficient game against a very good Bills pass defense where he did turn the ball over once. He was sacked 4 times, but, again, he's lacking a great offensive line. He's lacking his left tackle. Morgan Moses has been bad. and the Bills really got after it. But I do expect with the 2 weeks leading up to the game, him being named the starter, everyone hopefully buying into him, and a porous Jets pass defense, I think this is Dwayne's first I can be an NFL quarterback start. This is the first time where we're going to see him. Hopefully he gets a ball in the end zone for the first time in his career. It would be really great to see him in front of all the Redskins fans. Jets coming off a win over the Giants, which is good for their momentum. But if the Redskins are going to win the game, it's going to be through the air because the Jets run defense has been one of the best in the league. So if Dwayne Haskins can show why he was drafted 15th overall, Terry McLaurin can go out and do his thing, I think the Redskins have a good chance to win the game. I think they match up well. Absolutely. Assuming Dwayne Haskins can put the ball in the air.
My major note was that this was the first true Dwayne Haskins test, and I am going to agree with you. I think the Redskins will win this game, even though it'll be pretty close. And pardon me singing behind me. I think there is karaoke night going on where I live.
Ooh, so, karaoke night.
Pardon if you hear anything in the background. So,
did you just confirm that after we're done recording, you're going to be joining them?
Yes, I will be going to karaoke night. That sounds like a ton of fun. I do enjoy my singing voice. I don't flex it on the podcast a lot, but I think I'm a great singer. So,
hey, I respect it.
So I will go check that out. Cards Niners. I'm going to just say Kyler Murray had probably the best game of his career against the Buccaneers on Sunday. Looked really, really good. Looked comfortable. Didn't take a ton of sacks. Was efficient, has kind of got things going, didn't miss a ton of throws. He has thrown for 2,500 yards this year, 12 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. I would argue that's pretty damn good for a rookie, and I think if Josh Jacobs wasn't in the league, he would be kind of the clear front runner for rookie of the year. He's played pretty well thus far. And I think this might be a game where he struggles because of how good that Niners pass rush is and the fact that the Cardinals offensive line remains one of the worst in the league. But I just wanted to point out that he's been playing well. I think the Niners get back on track here, but I am excited to see Kyler Murray in the future because I think he is the guy for Arizona, and I think he'll be interesting to watch throughout the rest of the season and into the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I like Kyler a ton. I thought he's been much better as a passer in his first year in the league than I thought he would be. I thought he would rely more on his legs, which he has been mobile, but he hasn't been quite as much of a runner as I had anticipated, just because it is such a phenomenal weapon, his acceleration and his burst. But the 49ers defense is legit, and I've been picking against them all year. The first one that finally paid off was me picking against them this past week. Definitely not going to make the same mistake picking against them here. I'll take the 49ers and their suffocating defense.
All right.
And actually, I think Jalen Hurd has a big game. So some of you fantasy owners in a real deep league, maybe keep that one in your back pocket.
Gotcha. Patriots-Eagles, a must-win for the Philadelphia Eagles. Who do you see taking this game?
I'm going to take the Patriots. I currently live right outside of the city of Philadelphia. Everyone I know is an Eagles fan. But I think the Patriots will have the ability to tear – I mean, Tom Brady in general, just tearing up that Eagles secondary. Now, the Eagles have been known to play excellently against the Patriots, and it's always been really, really annoying. But I don't expect it this time. I think the Patriots are just a better team. I think their ability to force turnovers and suffocate the offense, I think the Patriots take this one.
I think this could be where the NFC East race ends. This could be kind of the death nail for the Eagles because the Cowboys' schedule, unlike them, is extremely easy. There are only one or two games. I see the Cowboys losing in the second half, but the Eagles have the Seahawks. They have several other really good teams right now. So I think this is kind of where it ends for the Eagles, unfortunately. As much as I've liked the Eagles over the past few years, I think this is where it ends for them as far as reaching the division race goes. And for that fact, the playoffs, because I don't think they will be a wild card team.
The NFC East really shouldn't send anyone to the playoffs, but one has to go.
Yeah. Chicago, Los Angeles. Why is this Sunday night football? That's my question. Why didn't they flex this? This is not a good game. The Rams aren't good right now, and the Bears aren't good right now.
Well,
neither of these teams are good.
I don't think you can flex primetime games until – actually, I don't know that they ever flex primetime games. And if they do, I think it's only in the last 2 weeks of the season for primetime specifically. Obviously, I could be completely mistaken, but if I remember correctly, that's how it goes. This game was obviously would have been a good game if both teams have been living up to expectations. Unfortunately, they've both been much worse than expectations. Mitch Trubisky is bad, and I think the Bears should sign Cam or trade for Cam Newton personally. I saw that rumor, thought that was awesome. I would love that. Cam Newton, Matt Nagy's team would be really fun. But I think I'm just – this one's a rough one for me because I think the Bears played so well against the Rams last year, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did it again. Jared Goff has not been himself. But then at the same token, I don't think Mr. Trubisky is very good. And I don't know that I think he can win this game. I take the Rams, but don't expect a great game from either team.
All right. The Chiefs and the Chargers. This is a sneaky, huge game for the Chiefs, who really can't afford to lose another game because sneakily the Raiders are breathing down their neck as far as the division teams go. And while they'd probably be a wild card team, I think they desperately want a home game. So this is a big game for the Chiefs, and they are playing – I think they get the win here because the Chargers are a team I just feel like they're about to fall off a cliff.
Yeah, so this is very rough for me. I had the Chiefs winning their division at 14-2, and I had the Los Angeles Chargers coming in second in their division at 14-2. So I was very high on both of these teams. I thought both of these teams were legitimate Super Bowl contenders, and the Chargers fell off the face of the earth. It's been an issue, and I really don't know. I mean, the offensive line, but the Chargers are a better team than the record indicates, but they're not playing like it, and that's an issue. I like the Chiefs here to win because the Chargers haven't been great, but the talent on the Chargers is impossible to deny. And is completely plausible for them to pull a win because I do think they're good enough to compete with the Chiefs, just hasn't been there thus far this season.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, thank you very much. This has been a ton of fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on.
Where can people find your stuff?
I'm a draft writer. I'm a lead draft writer over at Pro Football Network, where I do mock drafts and I do player profiles. I do stories. My next piece is going to be the matchups, the 1v1 matchups I'm most looking forward to at the Senior Bowl this year. So make sure you check that out. You can also find me on Twitter at MVScouting. If you have takes, if you have draft questions, anything, hit me in the DMs or just tweet at me. I love the interactions. I'm always on Twitter, always talking to people. I'm super outgoing. So please make sure you hit me up anywhere, anytime. And go check out my articles. It'd be awesome. And then I also have a podcast, as mentioned earlier, with the last guest, Dalton Miller, on the Blue Chip Scouting NFL podcast, where I co-host with Dalton. So make sure you guys are checking that out and subscribing on Apple Music or SoundCloud.
Awesome. Thanks very much, Matt. Absolutely. Will see you guys next week. Peace out.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.